Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You out of a week, weary from all the stresses and the labors and the trials and tribulations of this past week. And we come to You for rest, and we know that You shall provide it. So we come to You, O Lord, would You feed us with the green pastures of Your Word and make us lie down by the still waters of the Gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. And if you have a Bible from the back, that's page 1608. 1608, Luke chapter 12, and we'll also be looking at Lord's Day 10. Lord's Day 10. Which is found on page 876. 876 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Luke chapter 12 at verse 13 and Lord's Day 10. But first looking at God's Word from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13, and we'll continue reading through verse 34. Hear now the Word of our God. Then one from the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But He said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then He spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool! This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.' Then he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking at Lord's Day 10, we come to some of the most beautiful and important question and answers in the Catechism, and I think applicable to our daily lives as well. Lord's Day 10, question and answer 27 asks, what do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Question answer 28 asks, how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Answer, we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have the blessed privilege of looking at a doctrine that gives strength and vitality to the joy that we possess in Christ. This is because in knowing that our Heavenly Father, who is in control of all things and is the one who has planned out our entire lives and the course and path of every molecule in the universe, that in Him and in knowing that truth, there is a security that is found that cannot be shaken. And only where peace has triumphed completely over pain and fear is true joy present. And Jesus here in this passage, as he also does in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, reminds us of the true peace that we have with God and the comfort that is ours because Jesus' Father is our Father. The beginning of our passage begins with a problem. Jesus is asked by a man to judge between himself and his brother. We are not told all the details of the case. Presumably, this man's parents had died and he wanted his older brother to divide the inheritance with him fairly, of course, according to what he thought was fair. And so you can see 2,000 years later, things don't change much because oftentimes when parents die, what do the siblings do? They fight over the money. So things haven't changed too much. But again, the details of the case are not told to us, so this is not a passage in which we say, well, people can just steamroll over us and we have to take it. Some Christians have taught that, primarily from passages like if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other one also. That's not what those passages teach, and it's not the focus of this passage either. What comes clearly into view is that Jesus has detected in the heart of this man a real problem. That the motivation for why this man has come to him and asked for him to be a judge for him is because he is full of covetousness. The man has a love for money. And so in order to instruct this man, the crowd, and us today, Jesus tells a parable. And in this parable, we see that there is a rich man who is a very successful farmer. His crops were so good that he did not have big enough barns to store all of the yields of his crops. So the man decided to build bigger barns. Must be an American farmer, I think. Tear down the little barns and build bigger barns. And then after all his work is done, he says to himself in verse 19, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And you can see in the attitude of this man the same attitude that permeates our society. Many people are working hard to lay up treasures on earth in order to have pleasure and ease in this life. Coupled with that, though, people also want wealth and an accumulation of wealth in order to have a sense of security, of safety. But then comes the punchline in verse 20. "But God said to him, 'Fool. Fool.'" Now, in the world's eyes, this man is a genius. And yet God says to him, "Fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" Notice the way that Jesus says what he does in the second half of that sentence. "Then whose will be those things which you have provided?" That's very reminiscent of some of the wisdom psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. That when we die, everything that we worked hard for on this earth is gone from us, and it's just given to somebody else. We can't take it with us. The pharaohs tried that. How well did that work? All their tombs got raided by robbers or ended up in the British Museum. So that didn't work too good, right? It all got stolen. And even if it's still buried under the ground somewhere, they couldn't take it with them. All the wealth and riches of this world are worthless in the life to come. And so we must be very careful. Whether we have a lot of money or whether we have a little money, that we are not living for the accumulation of wealth. And that we are not seeking to find security and happiness in wealth either. So we need to ask ourselves this important question. And may the thought not enter our minds, "I hope so-and-so is listening to this." You all, and myself included, must examine our own hearts at this time. What are we seeking? What are we seeking? What are we living for? And let not your mind play tricks on you. Do not allow your heart to deceive you. Do not come up with all kinds of excuses and self-justifications. What are you living for? When you go through your days, what do you look forward to? Do you look forward to the weekend? Do you look forward to eating yummy food? Do you look forward to the time when you can play games or watch TV? Do you look forward to bedtime? Now that's obviously a question for the adults and not the children. But what are we living for? What's just a longing in our hearts. It's not a bad thing to look forward to eating yummy food. That's not what I mean by that question. But is that the ultimate desire of our hearts? Even for a moment in the day. When you work, do you work because simply you just enjoy working? Do you work because you like the money? Do you do your studies because you want to impress other people, or simply because you want to get into a good program or have a good resume for a job? Why do you do what you do? What are you seeking to get out of life? What is most enjoyable to you? In every moment of your life, there is a battle that is going on within your soul. What in that moment do you love most? Jesus calls us to remember the good news that in Him and because of Him we have peace with God, that because of His sacrificial death on the cross, God the Father is our Father. And in those moments when the battle is waging within our soul, Jesus gently and yet with divine power speaks these words. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus says, if we seek first the kingdom of God, all the necessities of life will be given. And then you will have treasure not on earth, but in heaven. Children, essentially Jesus is saying here that if we seek Him and follow Him and seek to glorify God in everything, we can leave everything else up to God. I used to have a poster that was given to me by a Sunday school teacher that was hung up in my room for many years that said, "Do your best and God will do the rest." Now that quote's not true in terms of our salvation, obviously. But in terms of living life under the sun and following God, we do our best to serve Him. To seek first the kingdom of God. But we leave all the results up to Him. And we leave whatever gifts we enjoy in this life entirely in His most capable hands. And leaving everything in the hands of our Heavenly Father should provide us with the greatest comfort and joy also in all circumstances. For as Jesus says in verse 32, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What a blessing to hear these words from our Lord Jesus. To be assured of our Father's love and care for us. In every other religion, the deity that is worshipped is capricious, is moody, and whimsical. You have no idea what the deity is going to do. Even in Judaism, I hope my good works outweigh my bad ones, but I don't know what God will think. Islam, same thing. And you go down the list of all the other religions. I remember speaking with some Pacific Islanders who grew up living under the religion of animism, believing there was gods in everything. He said, we lived in constant state of fear that we might offend the god of that tree, or the god of the ocean, or the god of the lake, or the god of this little part of land, or whatever. And we were constantly seeking to go around and appease all of these gods because we had no idea what they were going to do to us. Constant state of fear. And yet, brothers and sisters, for us, we are the sheep that enjoys the green pastures and the still waters that we are led to by our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ordained to by our loving Heavenly Father. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know that. You are told that by Him. Let the security of those words fortify your soul. Because what more could we want than that? I can speak from experience as a son. The words I most look forward to hearing from my father were, I love you and I'm proud of you. Our Heavenly Father loves us, brothers and sisters, and He treasures us. And He's proud of us. Not because of our greatness, of course, but He's proud of us as a treasure because of who He's made us to be, but also what Christ has redeemed us to be. He is proud of us because He's most proud of the work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. And if our earthly Father loves to give good gifts to His children, how much more so would your Heavenly Father not give you everything you need for body and soul in just the perfect quantity? We are perfectly assured in this passage that our Father loves and cares for us and desires to spend eternity with us. And knowing this wonderful truth enables us to be filled with comfort and joy, which leads to a changed life. A changed life from instead of seeking to hoard everything we can in this life for ourselves, to being cheerful givers. where Jesus continues saying in verses 33 and 34, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You're probably all familiar with the story A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge, or as in the versions our kids watch once in a while, Scrooge McDuck, if you remember that movie. But anyways, Ebenezer Scrooge is a very good illustration of the parable that Jesus told. He heaped up all of his wealth, wouldn't hardly give a dime to anyone. He just parted it all for himself. And as you know in the story, he's an incredibly miserable man. And he's incredibly miserable, especially as on Christmas Eve he's visited by the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas present and the ghost of Christmas future. And as he sees what the ghost of Christmas future reveals to him, that he will be dead one day, and all that wealth that he accumulated will be for nothing. And upon his realization of this, he changes his ways and on Christmas Day begins giving presents and becomes a much more generous and giving man. We, of course, understand Christmas in a whole deeper and richer way than that. We do understand that Christmas is the season of giving and giving joyfully. But it is only because we have been given the greatest gift that could ever be given, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And if God our Father did not spare in giving us his own Son, how much more will he not freely give us all things? If Christ came, was crucified, and furthermore also risen from the dead, those truths anchor your soul in the reality that your heavenly Father loves you. And if he loves you, you know that he will give you every good and perfect gift. So why would we worry? We so often are of little faith, aren't we? Our worrying changes nothing. And so let us bring everything, every care and concern, to the Father who loves us and who we can trust absolutely to do all things well. For he has already given us his Son. Will he not also with him give us all things? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, O Lord, that you would remind us day by day of your constant love and care for us, and that it would comfort our hearts, and that in any moment in which we are stressed or anxious about all the things of this life, that it would be the instinctual action of our soul to go to you in prayer and to trust you with all things in this life and the next. Help us, O Lord, for we are weak. We so often look at the wind and waves of this life and we begin to sink down into the depths of despair, of depression, and of overwhelming sorrow. And yet, O Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that You, O Heavenly Father, have given Him to us to be our salvation. And that if You have already secured our eternal destiny by His sacrifice, it only makes sense that You would care for every moment in this life and make all things in service to our salvation. Help us to remember these glorious truths. Relieve from us all the stress and anxiety of this season. And remember that all things come to us not by chance, but from Your fatherly hand. Whether the feasts are cooked just right or a little dry, whether the presents we give are exactly what the other wanted or not, and a whole list of other silly things we worry about. Oh Lord, help us to remember to place everything in Your most loving and capable hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.